Time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to have Indiana State Athletic Director Sherrod Klinkscales here, starting right off the top of the show. We'll have him on here in a second, followed by Summit Conference Commissioner Tom Duple at 9:30. And then we're going to have IU Kokomo men's basketball coach Eric Eckelberger at 9:45. But let's bring on Sherrod Klinkscales. Sherrod, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ken. How are you this morning?
Doing very well. So
good.
Looking forward to a good day of weather, and you know, it would be nice if we could see some FCS football on the air, but we didn't, unless you want to really get into the extreme packages of ESPN, you really can't get to it.
No, it's not really the time for football, but I'm sure our schools will be competing and getting after it. But it's just good. The weather is beginning to break a little bit.
What was your thoughts when your football coach Kurt Mallory said, "No, you know, we're not going to do any spring football this year"? What was your first thoughts when you heard that?
Well, I think it goes in line with the character of Kurt Mallory. He is the ultimate competitor. But first and foremost, Kurt's concern is for the well-being and development of our student athletes, and I knew that was really wearing on him as he went into the holiday season. Just the beginning of going into the spring with all the uncertainty, with the weather, with the fact that we haven't really trained consistently over the last 6 to 8 months. He had some concerns, and then knowing that we had a strong class coming back, he wanted to make sure that we're ready to go for the fall, because as well as we would have done in the spring, you know, we wouldn't want to go in the fall with a bunch of injuries and everything else, with expectations being really high. So I wasn't surprised, but very supportive of the reasons why he decided not to participate this year.
Now, if you were to have spring, were you going to go ahead and play fall too, or how are you going to go ahead and work that out?
Well, we were fully prepared, Ken, to play a spring season. We just would have probably taken about a month off, and then got into an abbreviated spring or kind of mid-summer spring season as far as getting ready for the fall, and then got after it come June and July. So we were prepared to have a spring and have a fall. I think Kurt's concern and our athletic trainers and medical people's concern was just recovery time period for our student athletes from a physical and mental was going to be something going to be tough, and then more importantly, the development. You know, one thing about Indiana State, you know, we're not getting, you know, 4- and 5-star recruits. Mm-hmm. You know, Kurt's getting young men that are raw, that are underdeveloped. They have to be bigger, stronger, eat, train, and we haven't had a chance to be able to do all those type of things. So that would impede their development.
How do you think this? What do you think is going to happen when teams decide to, okay, we're going to play the spring, and now we're going to go ahead and play in the fall? What do you think is going to happen with those teams? Are they just going to give out, or do you think you're going to be able to do it, or how do you think what's going to happen?
You know, Ken, I don't want to speculate, because everybody made the decisions based upon what they thought was best, and so for our sake, I hope everybody has a great spring season and everybody comes out healthy, and then, you know, we come into the fall all good to go. But I'm optimistic for my counterparts at the Valley schools. You know, I believe that they'll have a successful season, and I'm just optimistic that everything will go okay for them.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is a really, really good league, and it'd be unfortunate if they everything went into this and then didn't do as well come the fall.
You know, it's interesting, Ken, and I think you probably know this, being a part of the media, everybody has expectations, and no matter how well you do this spring, the expectations will be the same way in the fall. And, you know, that's tough. I mean, we have coaches that are giving it their all, young men that are giving it their all, and everybody else. But sometimes unfortunate things happen, and but no one wants to remember that when it comes down to the season. It's all about wins and losses. So, you know, I'm optimistic that they'll come out healthy, and then come this fall, the Missouri Valley Conference will be just as competitive as we always are.
What's been the effects of COVID for you guys down there in Terre Haute?
Well, I'll tell you, Ken. I mean, I've been very proud of the way the university's efforts, led by our president, Deborah Curtis, and then just all of our athletic staff, our head athletic trainer, director of sports medicine, Kellen Norris. We've all just really buckled down and really did the best we can to be able to mitigate this the best way we can. I'm happy to say that we're going to get through our basketball season playing all of our games.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some challenges with women's basketball, but nothing that's been because of our student athletes or our coaches or anything. It's just kind of how things have been. So overall, it has been challenging, but I've been very happy with how we have managed it and be able to get through it competitively. You know, again, I want us to go out here and get some, you know, wins and everything like that. But more importantly, I'm just glad our student athletes have the ability to compete and get after it, and of course, be healthy.
Of course, one of the things with the postseason conference tournaments is the fact that there was a big debate: should they be played, considering we're in the age of COVID? I think for conferences like yours, you pretty much have to play it, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we, you know, obviously we have an AQ, and you know, we have two teams in our conference, particularly in men's basketball, that have a chance to get one to get in at large. And you know, I'm bullish and think that we have a chance to be able to do some things and make some noise. So the conference play is awfully important, and I get why certain teams that already have a spot in the NCAA don't want to risk it. But you know, no matter how you try to mitigate risk, there's always risk behind that. So you know, I'm a big proponent of everybody playing the tournament, doing what they can to get through it, and seeing how things play out, because we know how important it is to have this NCAA tournament this year for all of our schools.
How have you guys decided to handle the replacement team if that situation comes up for you guys? I know you got a couple days after the selection day to go ahead and take care of that, but how have you guys decided to do that?
Well, you know, the protocols are in place. There's a certain time period where, you know, the conference can make a decision to replace the team. But once the teams are selected on selection Sunday, then it's out of our hands, and it goes to the NCAA committee to determine how that team is to be replaced. But my understanding from our Missouri Valley Conference protocols is that if our team, if NCAA were to win the tournament and then we were to test or not be able to participate, then the conference would make the decision on which team would be replaced based upon the finishing, you know, who was the second place team.
What's your thoughts on with the NCAA giving seniors an extra year of eligibility? How much does that mess things up for you guys? Because I'm sure it probably does.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, the NCAA, and certainly I work there and have a lot of good colleagues there, but what people don't understand is that there's money involved with this. You only get so many scholarships, and so, you know, you allocate those scholarships that you think you're going to lose, but then when you have a group of student-athletes that want to come back, now you have to create, you know, more money to be able to take
right.
care of those student athletes. And I just don't think a lot of people understand that. So, you know, the opportunity is great. I think it's well-deserved. But I think it's up to each institution how they're going to be able to manage that. You know, we were fortunate because some of our teams had some room to be able to do some things and moving around up scholarships. But, again, I'm a proponent for it. But Ken, you know, financially, I think each institution has to see kind of where they are and see if they're going to be able to fund that.
You know, and the other thing, one of the big things that you guys use to get that kind of funding is your attendance at events. And let's just be honest, that isn't happening too much this year.
No, you got a lot of things working, you know, from a lot of regional institutions like ourselves and Ball State. You know, the state schools will be okay, but, you know, enrollment is down significantly. And so that impacts what we do in athletics. And as you said, you know, we haven't been able to have packed houses. So, you know, that goes against us as well as sponsorship. So, you know, I'm just thankful for the support of our president and board of trustees to be able to take care of us financially. But moving forward, the revenue model for a regional institution like Indiana State is going to have to change dramatically if we're going to be able to maintain where we're going. And again, it's not anything that I'm, you know, like a shower of the bow, but it's just a matter of just how things are economically.
Did you guys have to trim some sports when all this first came out or not?
No, sir. We're very fortunate. Okay. We have 16 sports, and we're fully supporting those sports, and they're all coming back, and we're in good shape there. But again, how we finance those sports, we'll have to look at how we go about doing that and fundraising and sponsorships and creating ways for additional revenue.
It's going to be very interesting to see how all colleges, I don't care if you're a Power 5 or in the FCS or wherever you're at, how they're going to be able to do that. It's going to be very interesting to see how they handle all of that.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at it. You know, you want to look out for the student athletes and you want to have a safe environment. But financially, when you don't play those games, you don't have fans in the stands. You know, you don't have the money to finance all those type of things and provide those opportunities. So you juxtapose those two things. You say, okay, so what's best? And there's no right or wrong situation. It's just you just have to get through it and figure it out.
What was your thoughts on the NCAA just electing to have the whole tournament in around Indianapolis?
Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know, the whole idea is to try to maintain or try to keep things in a particular area. You take away the travel aspect, and so all of a sudden now that eliminates the possibility. So, you know, I applaud Dan Gavitt and his staff for coming up with the idea, and I think it'll be a really good thing for the city of Indianapolis, and more importantly, it's a good thing for college athletics just to be able to have an NCAA tournament, because a lot of our schools, all our schools are dependent on us being able to play that tournament and be able to get the revenues from that.
Yeah, because last year with no tournament means no revenue, and that really hurt lots and lots and lots of people.
Yeah, it did. You know, like you said, you know, we were fortunate that we didn't have to cut these sports, but some schools did. I know the NCAA had to let go of some staff and take early retirement. So, you know, again, you know, people talk about money, but money makes things happen. And if you don't have that revenue, the things just don't happen. So I'm really appreciative of the NCAA being creative and creating this championship this way.
Now, are you guys going to be hosting anything or not?
We are. Thanks for asking. You know, Dr. Curtis had spoken with President Emmert and some things, and I had some contacts with NCAA. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be hosting the practice facility at the convention center.
Okay.
That'll be something that we'll be doing, and we'll have a staff member there helping out during that time. So that'll be our role. We're just glad to play a small part of what is going to be an outstanding tournament.
It should be very interesting to see how things go and see how the public handles everything. I think this is going to be very interesting. Just be as much of a learning curve for everybody as anything else.
Yeah, I tell you what it's done, Kenny. You can't take anything for granted. I think that we take things for granted a lot, just not myself, but a lot of people. And then when something like this happens, it really brings perspective how blessed and fortunate we all really are. And so I just, you know, just pray that everything goes well, and that we can get back to some sense of normalcy come next fall.
Okay. Sherrod, anything else you want to add or bring up before I let you go?
No, I just appreciate the call, and just hope everybody enjoy their support their teams, and let's get through this thing sooner than later.
I commend you wholeheartedly for that. I think that's a great idea and great thought. So, hey, you take good care. We'll probably be catching a little further down the line here, and we'll talk to you later on, okay?
Thank you for the opportunity, Ken. God bless.
Thanks, Sherrod. Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Sherrod Klinkscale, who is the athletic director down at Indiana State, talking about various things dealing with COVID and what's going to be happening with the NCAA basketball tournament. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past 5 programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the Good Driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank Convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to Sherrard Klinkscales, who is the AD down at Indiana State, for his time this morning. We'll be talking to Tom Duple, who is the Summit Commissioner, at 9:30 this morning. Then we'll be talking with Eric Heckelbarger at 9:45. He's the IUK men's basketball coach. But until then, we have a bit of an open line or anything that you'd like to discuss right now, 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463. Since sports from yesterday and last night, and we would be remiss right now if we didn't mention this right off the top, that our former state pole vault champion here in Frankfort, Colton Crum, successfully defended his 2020 pole vault title by earning the 2021 crown by clearing 5.22 meters at 17 feet, 1.51 inches at the ACC indoor meet yesterday down at Clemson, South Carolina. He was flawless in his first three heights, which allowed him to take first place in first team all ACC honors. So congratulate Colton on a great day for winning the pole vault title at the indoor meet at the ACC yesterday down in Clemson, South Carolina. And from what I understand, everything, he's doing very well down there, and we'll see, trying to get him on here when the indoor season is over and before he hits the outdoors. So we'll see what we can do there. High school basketball results from last night up from the area. On our local scene, Frankfort defeated Delphi 55-43. Frontier defeated Clinton Central 47-46. West Lafayette just put it to Rossville last night 72-46. Around the area last night, Benton Central defeated Logansport 63-47. It was Huntington North over Kokomo 67-34. Kankakee Valley defeated North Judson 71-58. Lafayette Jeff down Terre Haute North 71-44. Lake Central defeated McCutcheon in double overtime, 65-64. Park Tudor defeated Crawfordsville, 64-61. Pioneer down Tri-County, 48-38. It was Rensselaer Central over Winnemac, 65-41. Excuse me. River Forest defeated North Newton, 66-61. It was South Newton over Attica, 55-51. And Southmont defeated Indianapolis Cecina in overtime last night, 60-57. So that's the last week of regular high school basketball, so from now on, it's tournament time for high school basketball. And that reminds me, we need to bring this up for you. On Tuesday night, boys sectional action starts with the Clinton Prairie. playing Carroll around 7:30. Both Rossville and Clinton Prairie are in the Fountain Central section. We're going to follow those two teams as long as they are, as far as they go. The sectional broadcast has been sponsored by Gangwer Insurance, Jerry's Body Shop, the Farmers Bank, Newell's Gas, Encompass Credit Union, Schellenberger Realty, and Walper Services. That sectional action on this very channel coming up on Tuesday night. Also last night in college action, Purdue played last night. They were in over at Penn State, and they easily defeated the Nittany Lions, 73-52. Sasha Stefanovic had 16, Jaden Ivey had 14. As the Boilermakers cruised, Ivy had a season-high 4 blocks for the Boilermakers. They're now 16-8 overall, 11-6 in the Big Ten. They won their 9th out of their last 12 and tied number 9 Iowa for 4th place in the Big Ten standings. Purdue pulled away from a 41-26 lead at halftime with 4 runs of at least 7 straight points. Went on a 15-2 run in the second half to push lead the double digits for good. It was the Boilermakers' largest victory of at Penn State since a 64-42 win on January the 23rd, 2008. Trevion Williams had 11 points, and Eric Hunter Jr. had 10 as the Boilermakers made 27 of 52 from the field. Myron Jones had 11, and Jamari Wheeler had 9 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists for the Nittany Lions. Penn State opened the half on an 8-2 run to get the deficit within 9 as it made its first 5 shots in the half, but then missed the next 8. Purdue finishes its regular season by hosting number 23 Wisconsin on Tuesday, and then Indiana on next Saturday. Penn State hosts Minnesota on Wednesday and visits Maryland on Sunday. So everything's starting to wrap up as we're getting into the postseason here. And that's starting to get, it's going to be here sooner than what you think. That's some of the conference tournaments have already started. College basketball on the tube today. We have Michigan and Indiana. That game starts at noon down in Bloomington. CBS has a triple header for you today. At noon, they have Texas at Texas Tech, which will be an interesting contest. We'll see if Texas has recovered from their scuffle in between teammates, which allowed them to blow a 19-point lead last week. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that one. Then also, you have Washington at Arizona. That goes at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And then at 4 o'clock, you have Florida at Kentucky. That's the CBS triple header for you this week. Other Big Ten action today on ESPN at 2 o'clock. You have Illinois at Wisconsin. It'll be an interesting game because Illinois is not the same without Io DeSumo. And it'll be interesting to see if he can play at all. He suffered a facial injury against Michigan State. He also got hurt in last year's game with Michigan State. So it's maybe that's a team, I don't know, that just knows how to handle him a little bit better. But right now, Illinois does not have Io DeSumo. With no DeSumo, Illinois is not nearly as good as what they can be. At 2 o'clock today, Notre Dame is at Boston College on the ACC Network. At 3 o'clock on ABC, the Border War, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma play each other. That game starts at 3 o'clock on ABC. And I'm trying to see if there's any other games tonight. Yes, there are. Minnesota's at Nebraska, and that'll be 7 o'clock on BTN. Two huge games tonight. Number 1, Gonzaga, hosts Loyola Marymount. That's at 10 o'clock on ESPN, but the game right before that should be very interesting. We'll see if Baylor, who's number 2 right now, can still keep going as they're at number 17, Kansas. That's at 8 o'clock on ESPN this evening. Tomorrow, Butler is on CBS at noon tomorrow as they host Villanova. That game starts at noon over at Hinkle Fieldhouse. Two Big Ten games tomorrow. Michigan State is at Maryland. That starts at 2 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, Iowa plays at Ohio State tomorrow. So lots of good basketball games coming up for you this weekend, which should make some things very interesting see how the leagues are going. There will be fans in the Fenway Park stands this year when the Red Sox take the field for opening day. Governor Charlie Barker is announcing that large arenas and stadiums will have spectators back at 12% capacity starting on March the 22nd. The Bruins will be the first team in Boston to welcome fans back on March the 23rd at TD Garden. The Sox will be the first to host the Baltimore Orioles in Boston on April the 1st. First pitches of spring training baseball take place on Sunday. The New York Yankees will host the Toronto Blue Jays in Florida, while the Boston Red Sox visit the Minnesota Twins in Grapefruit League action. Out in Arizona, the Cactus League action. The new-look San Diego Padres will take on the Seattle Mariners, while the defending champion Los Angeles Dodgers take on the Oakland A's. One very important thing from a civil rights movement that happened yesterday, the WNBA and the NBA's Board of Governors are officially approving the sale of the Atlanta Dream. That's the women's basketball team, and we're down in Atlanta. Larry Gottsdiemer, chairman of the real estate firm Northland, will take over as the NBA, take over the WNBA franchise, along with former Dream Team star Vinay Montgomery and Northland president and COO Suzanne Adair. Montgomery becomes the first former player to become an owner and executive of a team in the league. She set out the 2020 season to focus on social justice reform before announcing her retirement. So that'll make that a very interesting situation down in Atlanta to see how Renee Montgomery does. And we wish her very well because I think she'll be very well qualified to do that situation. Also last night, NBA action. The Celtics got it together a little bit enough to beat Indiana last night, 118-112. It was Toronto over Houston, 122-111. Kings defeated Detroit in Detroit last night, 110-107. Utah Jazz got slowed down by the Miami Heat as Miami won 124-116. The Phoenix Suns won at Chicago last night, 106-97. The L.A. Clippers redeemed themselves for a horrible performance for the night before as they defeated Memphis by a score of 119-99. The Oklahoma City Thunder defeated the Atlanta Hawks, 118-109. Golden State defeated Charlotte last night, 130-121. And one of the marquee matchups last night saw the L.A. Lakers end their four-game losing streak as they defeated the Portland Trail Blazers last night, 102-93. We got Tom Duple, who is the commissioner of the Summit Conference, coming up at 9:30, so we're going to take a break right now. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper.